Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 240, coming at you on a Tuesday evening, which means Bloom board time. We'll keep up with what we did last week. We did live hitter Bloom boards. We will do live pitcher Bloom boards tonight to get you kind of in the groove of maybe some guys to buy or sell or, you know, stash or something along the way, and look at some underlying metrics to see who's been good and who has been bad, and if it is a thing. We're also going to talk some recent news and much, much more. But before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDantric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/Bubba Bloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at Ryan BHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How we doing, my friend?
I'm doing okay. I do want to get out ahead of this a little bit. I speak on behalf of the show, on your behalf.
Good call.
Thoughts and prayers to anybody who rostered Ryan Pressly this evening. Wow. Zero outs, eight earned runs.
Yes, it was kind of, you know, glorious. If you're a Giants fan and someone that has zero Pressly shares, it was pretty nice to see.
One of the worst lines I have seen in a long time. We talked about, like, I think we talked a few shows ago about like 12 earned run outings, starts, whatever, but obviously that's over a few innings. But man, to not even get an out, I think he only threw like 26 pitches or something. That's insane.
Yeah, even Hunter Pence on the broadcast was like, yeah, as a veteran, Pressly's going to go back, look at this film and go, what am I tipping to make it so easy to hit me right now?
It was, yeah. And he's 88% started in main event leagues. Because, I mean, he is the was the closer, 83% of 12 teamers too. So widely started. So not to rub salt in the wounds, but that's a tough one to freaking overcome. That's brutal.
Very tough to overcome. Like a good buddy of ours in the Discord, B. Welch, who is having a great season so far. He's been near the top of the DC overall leaderboards. He's a top of some other boards as well. He kind of made us laugh when he said he has a DC with Sale, Eovaldi, and Pablo Lopez in it. All dealt. All looked great on Tuesday night. He also has Ryan Pressly, and his ERA today was 5.094. So that's all you need to know about what took place with Ryan Pressly. So get your Porter Hodge shares dusted off. Get them ready just in case a move gets made, because it should get made. But you never know. Some of these managers just love to stick with their veterans a little too long.
So go to the fridge, grab yourself a nice dark Porter.
Yep. I'm not a dark beer fan, but in this case, salute. All right. Before we get to some news and notes, it is the beginning of a month, Ryan. So that means we do our monthly listener league update, as it's May, obviously, for those keeping track of the, Mayan calendar or the real calendar. So it's May. And that means we're a little over a month into the season. But I'll let you have the floor here because my team is horrific right now. So what are we looking at when we're looking at the stands? Because a lot of some names people would know on the show, and a lot of other strong listeners as well.
Yeah, so this is something we kind of pledged to do. We put a lot of time, energy, live streams, everything into the listener leagues, and we want to kind of follow up and keep it not at the forefront every show or whatever, but just do a little monthly check-in on how things are going. Let's do a shout to the top. We'll do top 15. So there's 150. So for folks who aren't aware, we run these like in February every year. We had 10 leagues. God, this feels like a forever ago. We have 10, 15 team auction leagues, $50 entry, all hosted on the NFBC. And so there's obviously each league, but then there's overall component on NFBC. The overall prize was very generous of our friends at Baseball HQ, is a free registration to First Pitch Arizona. So that's what the overall is playing for. Plus some money and things like that through NFBC. But yeah, we just want to keep it somewhat at the forefront. We'll do the top 15, and then we'll talk about our teams. I really want to talk about your team a lot, so we'll spend some time there just honing in on what went wrong. Number one, the leader overall in the Bubba and the Bloom auction championship is Jason Weir. Congratulations, Jason, who has 1,300 overall points, which is quite a bit of a lead on the rest of the pack. Brandon Waddell is in second at SMK Teach. This is a username one, so apologies if I don't have the first and last name there, but in third, Taylor Johnson in fourth, Lucas Beery in fifth place. Lucas live streamed his auction solo, which is impressive as hell. So Lucas is off and running, and he's a former auction overall champion. Is that correct?
Yes, he is. Yeah, it's correct. He won a couple years ago, won the overall auction OLAC championship. So yes.
All right. Do you want to take like 6 through 10?
I'll take 6 through 10. 6 to 10 is the pole hitter himself, Rob DiPietro.
Let's go. Also streamed it.
Coming in big. And then number 7, we got Tony Musso. 8, Ben Bingham, who's always active in the old chat. And so is Callan. I'm apologizing now. No wonder you gave me this list. Callan Elsliger is 9th on this one. And then coming in 10th is Kevin Pollard. And if you go 10th through 1st, basically, first has a, let's say, 255 point lead on 10th place. So not that far apart, all things considered.
We've got Tony Messer at 11th, Josh Redman 12th, Aaron Asbury, Aaron Gifts, known in the Discord. He's coming in at number 13. Scott Burks coming in at 14. And then the pizza man, Adam Steinmetz, coming in at 15. So Adam is close to on his way to a return trip, potentially to First Pitch Arizona. He's positioned himself. So congrats to the top 15 out of 150. Actually, it's funny, we just talked about Brian Welch. He's 18th in this. So doing some things in the DC streets, but also in the Bubba and the Bloom overall.
Well, I was going to say, it's cool to see, first off, Burks, perfect timing, jumped 7 spots since yesterday, so he got on the top 15 just in time for the show. But I also wanted to mention, it's just cool to see, like you said, the time we put in, we like doing it because everybody wants to be a part of it, and we definitely like don't know all of these people, sadly enough, but to notice a bunch of these names, I think it's pretty, like, people that are active in the Discord and whatnot, it's really cool to see so many of these guys, and even a handful we met in Vegas and whatnot, so... Yeah, it's nice to see it. I know we've talked enough early on about how excited we were about how much it grew to this level, but to see to see it actually happen is pretty sweet.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, like a good chunk of probably the majority of these folks are Patreon subscribers, so it is cool to see us be able to shout you guys out on air. All right, my team so far is okay. 43rd.
You don't want to go talk about the news?
No, let's chill on this for a minute. I know no one really cares, but I just like seeing you in distress. I'm 43rd out of 150, so that's okay. Somewhat of a league of death situation. I know that's an overused term in this, but I'm 43rd out of 150, yet I'm 8th in my league. So that's pretty tough. That's not great, but better than I'm doing last year, so I'll take it. All right, drum roll, Bubba, where are you at?
Let me scroll for a bit here. I'm down to 136. I was at 129 yesterday, so I've dropped 7 spots, which in reality, glass half full here. Early on, I think I was sitting around 149 for a long time. So we're going to on the move here. I've been hanging around 10th place in the league for quite some time, which is pretty close to where you are in your league. So in reality, we're both 10th place teams. So I'm just going to throw that one out there.
Incorrect.
If we need to go that direction, but yeah, not a great start, but I will say it is like slowly on the right direction as I keep grinding the crap out of Fab and continually weekly going, this is why 15 teams annoy me, because it's just like, you are praying to find that diamond in the rough right now to make a jump. And, there's zero chance I stop caring about these leagues, because every first episode of the month I will hear about this. So I will continue to make my rise. And so by the time the September episode comes around and I'm past Ryan Bloomfield, this will be so, so sweet.
Yeah, you will be hearing it from all angles as you descend closer to 150.
Yeah, but it's been a rough go. Lots of injuries. I was looking at my roster today and there's been a lot of Fab moves, a lot of bid and pray situations, and pitching's been pretty decent. The hitting has just been atrocious. So
you've got some good teams. I know that you have another league, so it's
yes,
one of those things. But no, it's been fun. The last thing I'll add is the Fab for these leagues has, but at least in my league, has been super active. There's been a ton of ads pretty much every week, and it feels like a I don't want to say feels like a main event or anything like that, but it's very active. So it's, you know, people are following it, which is great.
Yeah, to that point, it's what makes it even more difficult, because I know I get outbid on so many players I like in this league, so many that I get in other leagues. I mean,
we do a fab preview show.
So, I write an article on it every Saturday that comes out. So it's just like it gets blown up in my face, because it's not that I can't auction. My OLAC team keeps fluctuating between like third and sixth. It's doing just fine. But this one's just on the struggle bus of reality. So,
really, what you should do for your fab article now, Bubba, is you should also add bid dollar amounts for how much you think you should bid on each of those players, and just give your league that much more of an edge.
When we get an eighth day added to the week, I'll get right on top of that for you. Don't you worry about it.
Sounds good.
All right. With that being said, now that at least I didn't roster Ryan Pressly, so that's a plus. But as we head to the news and notes from the last couple of days here, we'll start it off with Shoto Imanaga heading to the IL with his hamstring, almost abductor strain situation. It's not great. It's hamstring for now, but it's grade one, but they're expecting him to miss probably closer to 3 weeks or so, they're saying. With this injury, they're not going to rush him back at all. You're not dropping Shoto by any means. Yeah. The rumors on the street, it's either going to be Chris Flexen or Cade Horton getting the call. Horton's been great at AAA. But what's your thoughts on the situation? Because massive, massive hit.
Yeah, it is. But also, yeah, certainly a hold on Shota. We saw this with basically similar injury with Justin Steele last year. Non-arm, came back, looked pretty good. So not worried long-term about Shota, but anytime you lose somebody, because as we'll see in our live Bloom Boards portion here, the free agent pool is just abysmal for starting pitchers. So trying to replace that is tough. What also is also tough is the potential reemergence of Chris Flexen, which I think we all know what we're getting there. And I think we all know it's not good.
It's a real shame Javier Assad had a setback in rehab. Real, real shame, because he would have been the perfect fit for the scenario.
I guess he does. Flexen does make the facade look pretty good. Cade Horton, Cade Horton obviously is interesting. He will be interesting to a bunch of people in Fab if Cade Horton is called up. Has a 1.24 ERA in AAA right now, sub one WHIP. Over 29 innings, 31% strikeout rate. So there's a lot going on, a lot of good going on for Cade Horton if the Cubs deem him ready. I don't think Cade Horton's very far out, but maybe they want a longer runway than like 3 weeks if that's truly what Shota is out for. Maybe they want something longer, and Flexen's just a patch job. So we'll see.
We'll know at the end of the week. He starts like Friday or Saturday, so we'll have a good sense of that situation. We should have a good sense of that situation. This one hits close to home. It's NY Best OC team. I know you have lots of shares. Teoscar Hernandez to the IL. He left the game on Monday with what they said was a hamstring injury. After more testing, it's a groin injury, and it's grade one, which usually sounds good, but then the Dodgers said he's going to be out for a while. That's the terminology used. So we don't have an official timetable. A while usually feels like closer to 4 to 6 weeks, give or take. That's what it feels like. But he's going to be out. James Outman got called up. He was playing center field. Andy Pye has moved to right field, hit second in the order on Tuesday. Outman has not been great at AAA. He's been better. He's been better over like the last week. Like, he really has been better the last week, but it's still not great. So I'm not too aggressive on that one.
Ditto. And yeah, Teoscar, I checked earlier today, Teoscar was the number five player on the Razzball Player Rater so far this season. So just kind of like, I don't even know if it's sneaky, but he has been incredible. So this injury is at the worst time. I agree. James Outman, it's a platoon. B, it's a 36% K rate at AAA this year with a ton of whiffs. Yes, the power has been there. 8 homers, 15% barrel rate. Speed's been there, but like, I just think James Outman could be eaten alive against major league pitching. So I'm not that. Maybe if like the Dodgers get a 6-game righty week or something, you stream them, but that's about it.
Well, but look at this, Dodd. Might be changing my tune here, weirdly enough. So I knew he's been playing better of late, and I just kind of expanded on it more looking at his page. Last 17 games at AAA for Outman since April 16th, dude's hitting 359, 5 home runs, 14 runs, 17 RBIs, 5 stolen bases over that time. Still striking out almost 33% of the time.
What's his K rate? Okay.
Yeah. That's what I said, which you've always talked about does not carry over well. So, and a 474 BABIP. So I guess pick your battles there. But he has been hitting better. That's fair. He did go 0 for 4 on Tuesday night with, let's see here, 3 strikeouts. So got that going for him as well. So I just kind of want to hit both things. Let's see how he does the rest of the week. But I guess I can't just say he's a complete dud. He has shown improvements, and it wasn't only a couple years ago. He nearly went 20-20 with some bad strikeout skills. So does he go the Chaz McCormick route and just disappear, or do we re-see that form? That's the million-dollar question, I guess. And we're going to get about probably a month to figure it out. And so that's where he might be worth a cheaper grab this week if you get a cheap stash, basically. So don't want to completely write the guy off. You do, though. Yordan Alvarez of the Houston Astros heads to the IL with right hand inflammation. They're saying it's minor. We'll see. We've heard that with Yordan so many times in his career, Ryan, that it's minor and that it lingers and all these different things. We know he's still one of the best hitters in baseball, but this is the problem we see every season when we talk in the offseason about drafting Yordan Alvarez. It's like, how many games of Yordan do we get? He doesn't steal. How many games do we get? So he's out. Guess we'll see how it goes from there.
Yeah, and I thought it'd be like Zach DiCenzo time, your guy. But like,
he's playing like every 2 out of 3 games right now.
Yeah, but you want that every... Zach DiCenzo play every single day. Like, he didn't start on Tuesday against a righty. I don't really get that.
I'm full agreeance with you on that, trust me.
But, I mean, that's, I think, the obvious fill-in, assuming DiCenzo plays at least 2 out of 3. And power's there. I don't know about the batting average. We'll see with DiCenzo. But I think in 15-teamers, that's worth adding DiCenzo or Outman.
Oh, I still want DiCenzo.
Okay.
Yeah, give me Zach DiCenzo. I think there's a lot more to like about him. But, again, you never know. It's hard to count on. James Outman's still so young. So, like, that's why the strikeout rate just scares me so much with him. But to fair, DiCenzo's strikeout rate is not great either. So, got a couple problems there. Because when you look at that Astros roster, it's really weird because when Alvarez went to the IL, they called up Cesar Salazar, who's a decent prospect catcher, but now they have 3 catchers. So, they did this in the past, and it allowed Caratini and Yainer Diaz to DH. So, gave them some rest from behind the plate, I guess. Something to monitor. See how the lineup goes. Like, Yainer played DH on Tuesday, and Caratini caught. So that could be a plus to get more at-bats for Yainer Diaz, who wasn't sitting much to begin with, but just keeps him in the lineup even more as things go along. Concase says, I grabbed Outman in a heavy-hitting 16-team dynasty. Heck yeah, in a 16-team dynasty, yes. Give it a whirl in a 16-team. Sure. Yeah. Yep. 100% on board with that. Evan Carter. Now, this is where it gets, if you want to start comparing these young players here. Evan Carter was recalled from AAA as the Rangers let Leody Taveras go on waivers, who the Mariners actually picked him up on Tuesday. So you got that going for you. Evan Carter went 2 for 5 with an RBI on his debut on Tuesday. Any excitement for Evan Carter, who I think still can't hit left-handed pitching?
Right. Like, I think there will be excitement for Evan Carter. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, whatever. I know I'm an Evan Carter hater. I've never really liked the guy for fantasy, at least at this stage in his career. I just think he's a platoon bat, super patient hitter, which is great in real life, but in 5x5 fantasy, it's really not. And so far this year, it's been a 26% strikeout rate for Evan Carter. Not much hard contact, 3 homers and 90 plate appearances. Like, I just think the market overrates Evan Carter and thinks there's some big breakout coming. And it could happen, and maybe it does happen at some point. The kid's young, has a bright future. I just don't see it coming in the short or medium term, honestly.
I'm with you. I'm not overly excited about it. The Rangers are trying to shake a lot of things up right now because their team's hitting so poorly. It was first Berger, then their hitting coach, then Taveras. Like, they're making a lot of moves to try to see what can, you know, work. And Carter's going to get run, but I'm not sure it's the run I'm looking for. I did want to mention Freddy Peralta. He left his last start on Sunday with a minor groin injury. The Brewers already said they're going to push him back a couple of days, similar to what the Royals did with Cole Reagans. So just kind of keep that on your radar. If you're in daily leagues, if you're in weekly, you're already locked in. So see where that one heads. But just wanted to bring that up. Not a whole lot you can do about it. And then another bit of news I want to mention, Zach Geloff got shut down. He was rehabbing from his hand injury. He got shut down, and there's no timetable yet for his return. So we'll have to see on that means. Luis Urias, who's been playing pretty well at second base, should get some more run and avoided a hit to the face earlier in tonight's game. So we got that going for us.
Yep.
Last thing I want to mention, I didn't add it to the sheet because it happened. I noticed it in my research for tonight's
the breakfast. The king, Bubba. Our king.
No, not King William. Wasn't going to talk to William because I want to get more information there. King William is going to have x-rays on his finger because apparently it's been like almost broken, but he's still like leading the league and throwing people out. So they just want to see how severe things are with him. I wanted to mention Ivan Herrera, who many of us, he was rehabbing and thought he'd be back this weekend. Then he kind of got more soreness in his bone bruise. They're going to shut him down for a few days. Well, that few days turned into like a few hours. Ivan Herrera is back in Tuesday's game and caught 7 innings. So they'll kind of keep playing it close. But the whole idea was to play 7 innings and play 9 innings like twice, then he'd be back. So we could still see Ivan back this weekend if things work well, which is a positive. So I wanted to end the news on a positive note, as we might be getting Ivan Herrera back after it felt like less than 24 hours ago we might have lost him again for a few weeks.
So, yeah, it sounded bleak listening to you and Ben and then on breakfast.
I
did not know of this turnaround. That's good.
Yeah, neither did I. I was just doing some stuff tonight. I'm like, oh, well, that is good to see. So a positive note as we head into Bloomboards, Ryan. Bloomboards, Bloomboards, Bloomboards. What do we have in store for us this evening?
All right, so I got this ready to go. This is a similar exercise to last week, except we're going to do it on the pitcher side. These are the live bloom boards that are updated every day for Patreon subscribers. You guys have access to this Google Sheet and are able to pull it up every single day. And again, there's 5 tabs on it. There's a teams tab. There's the year-to-date hitters tab, which we looked at last week. Tonight we'll cover the year-to-date pitchers tab, and we'll go through 3 separate boards. And then sometime next month we'll look at, there's a last 30 days hitters and pitchers, so we'll be able to look at kind of in-season trends. But all that stuff again is available if you want to support the show over at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I update this every single day, so get the latest and greatest there. Tonight what we'll talk about 3 pitcher bloom boards. The first one, similar to what we went through last week, is the best pitcher skills of starting pitchers who are under 50% rostered in NFBC leagues and also are not injured. So we'll look at those guys. We have skills risers and fallers from 2024 versus this season. And we're looking at swinging strike rate and ball percentage, which are 2 of my favorite, our favorite, I should say, metrics to use to evaluate pitchers. So we've got the top and bottom 15 in those 2 metrics from this season versus last season. And then the last board we'll talk about is lucky and unlucky pitchers, comparing their surface ERA to their underlying skills-based Sierra, and then looking at some of the luck factors that go into that. So similar to last week, we'll just kind of pick and choose, but I think we'll start over on this best skills under 50% rostered board and go from there.
Yep, let's get going to it. We're not going to talk about them all. We don't think we need to talk about Ryan Gusto. We've talked about him so much, and he's in the bullpen now. Yep, he's about to go join the 6-man rotation because they're going to play 17 games in 17 days. So he will jump back in. So if you want to, you can talk about him. I know we've covered him quite extensively in recent Fab shows, but the numbers support the skills. Let's put it that way.
Yep, absolutely. He's our top ranked skilled starting pitcher that's under 50% rostered. And you look at all 3, we're looking at strikeout rate, walk rate, swinging strike and ball. And he is Oregon Duck Green in all 4, which is really good to see. So yes, go for the gusto indeed. Nice to see Gusto sticking in the rotation, even if it is 6-man. And I think we're both still skeptical of Lance McCullers lasting very long in that rotation. So wasn't very efficient in his first start back. So I don't even know if like playing time is that much of a worry with Gusto, honestly.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there, Ryan. Let's put it that way. I think you're definitely onto something there. Steven Matz is already back in the bullpen, so I'm not too worried about that. Ryan Nelson's about to be back in the bullpen as well, assuming Corbin Burns' shoulder holds up. Corbin Burns expected to pitch this weekend. We'll see how that goes. I actually want to ask about Simeon Woods Richardson, just because this is where these boards are entertaining to me, because I'm surprised to see him this high on the board. He's only 1% rostered in 12s. He's showcasing a 24% K rate, 9% walk rate, 10% swinging strike rate, and a 37% ball rate, which is all very, very good. He has a 4.403 ERA to go with a whopping 4.04 Sierra. So it's kind of like, hey, this is who he is. This is a guy I can rarely ever get behind because he can go deep into games, Ryan. But what are your thoughts? Because like you see these numbers and they showcase that he's good, but the results in the field haven't been as good.
Yeah, I'm still skeptical of Woods Richardson, I think. And even like, I should make a note of this too, even though like we've got like a 10% swinging strike rate that's technically green, that's because starting pitching free agents suck. And 10% is actually below average. MLB average like 11.5%, 12%. So Woods Richardson is still below average in swinging strike, and he's still below average in ball percentage. But the K's have been there, walks okay. I think Woods Richardson is a streamer even in 12s. And then if I look over at our weekly planner, again, available for Patreon subscribers, the next two starts are both against Baltimore, and they kind of crush righties. So I don't really buy into Woods Richardson taking a major step forward, even though he is somewhat high on this list.
Agreed. Will Warren is another interesting one. 36% roster here, 26% K rate, 12% walk rate, 9% swinging strike, 40% ball rate. So the ball rate kind of goes with the walk rate. That would be coincidence. But we've seen a guy that's, you know, allowed 9 runs in his last 2 starts, 7 are earned. He has a 5.65 ERA. But a 3.84 Sierra, so maybe there's something on the positive there. Walks have really crushed him so far, and that has limited his ability to go deep into games. So Will Warren is, like, all the hype that surrounded him entering the season, we haven't seen it translate for fantasy. But, again, you look at this line here, and there's some positives in the strikeout department, but then the walks at the same time. So what's your thoughts here?
Yeah, I'm also low on Will Warren. Yes, the strikeout rate looks good. 26% is good, but it's not supported by swinging strike. And typically, rule of thumb, take your swinging strike rate, kind of times it by 2, and that's roughly what your K rate should be. And if we do that with Will Warren, his K rate should be like 18%, 20%, something like that, not 26. And I think the control issues are not going away because Will Warren is not really throwing strikes. You mentioned the 40% ball rate. That's really bad. League average is like 35, 36. So not great. And then to cap it off, Will Warren's next 2 starts at the Athletics, oof, and then against the Mets. So you're probably not rolling with Will Warren until late May, and it's tough to hold on to someone like that for very long. So I don't know, just like Woods Richardson, maybe I hate all starting pitchers. Even though Will Warren's not high on the list, or is high on the list, I'm still skeptical.
Well, I got one for you, because as we were prepping or getting ready to record our Patreon only episode,
here's my guy,
on Tuesday, Ryan said, I am really interested in this player. And I was like, Ryan, it's still cold in Coors Field. He says, I know, but he's high up on the board. And that is Kyle Freeland, who's 2% rostered in 12s, 17% K, 4% walk, which is really good. And obviously you don't want free passes in Coors. 10% swinging strike, 31% ball rate. Freeland has a 5.7 ERA, but a pretty decent 3.62 Sierra. So where are you at on Kyle Freeland? Says we both, I admitted I see where you're coming from earlier, but I want to hear more about it. So enlighten us all.
And even best, this is like the Bloomberg's trifecta. So he's on this list. If I scroll over to he's probably on the unluckiest list, right? There he is, Sierra versus ERA, just like you mentioned. Been burned by a brutal BABIP, 358 BABIP, low left on base rate. So has been pretty unlucky. Skills are very good, and the third of the trifecta is a pitch mix change. So he would show up on a pitch mix board as well that we'll probably talk about next month. That's in these live bloom boards. Kyle Freeland has joined the sweeper revolution, throwing it 21% of the time with a 21% swinging strike rate, which is really good even for a sweeper. So I like Kyle Freeland. The results have been bad, but the skills have been good. He gets Detroit at home his next time out. But then the next 2 starts are at Texas and then at the Diamondbacks, who haven't been that great against lefties. So avoids Coors after that. I think Kyle Freeland, you can roll with my guy for a little while. and then maybe he morphs back into Kyle Freeland, but kind of quietly putting up really good skills with a new pitch with the sweeper that that's been pretty effective.
Yeah, he's had stretches in the last couple of seasons where he's been serviceable for a decent amount of starts. You just got to know when to jump off the train when it gets a little wobbly on the tracks. So otherwise, yeah, see where it goes. I like seeing Jake Irvin on this list. I really do, because I've been kind of pumping him up the last week or so, more so for deeper leagues than 12s. He is 46% rostered in 12s. And he'll have some streamability in 12s. I won't just completely downplay that, but you see the 19% K rate, 6% walk rate, 9% swinging strike, 33% ball rate. The control has usually been pretty good. He did walk 3 today and 3 in his last start, but prior to that, was doing pretty well in that regard. Didn't even strike out a guy today. He didn't have his goods today, but the weather's been nasty up there right now. But it's a guy that the reason I wanted to highlight him is he's pretty much given you 6-plus innings in every start. So he's basically been a quality start machine before his last start. It was 1, 2, 3 straight quality starts, which is a plus. What I liked about him, and I think it's a guy we talked about in the offseason, dude threw 187 innings, almost 188 innings last year. So he's an innings-eating machine, which is hard to find. Again, this goes to the deep league thoughts in this process. And the whip's rather low. It's 1.13 this year, 1.20 last year. So it's very serviceable in that regard. ERA is close to 4. So in a deep format, I think Jake Irvin should deserve much more attention, and maybe he does. Maybe I'm just in my 12 brain on this. But seeing him up here on this chart, at least kind of to me, what I've been thinking about when I've been discussing him, at least kind of pans out a little bit.
Yeah, it pans out a little bit. I still think, like, kind of that low ceiling, high floor type of arm, the high floor, yeah, because the control has been so good. But I just don't, I mean, unless it's like a two-step, hard to see Jake Irvin getting many strikeouts. And again, that's like right, compared to these other guys around him. And I think, again, this is like the biggest takeaway is just how bad, and this is 12 teamers under 50% owned, just how bad like Patrick Corbin is number 15 on this list. Guy has an 8% K minus walk, below average swinging strike, above average ball. Like it is brutal. So I feel like I'm kind of like a broken record here and saying these guys are all kind of streamers, but there's just not many whiffs or K's in this group. It's bad.
Yeah, I'm just going to highlight a few more and you can give your thoughts if you will, but then we'll move on to these other boards. But it is interesting seeing Jordan Hicks on this list because he's, yep, to me, as I watch him, has not been that good, but he rates out, again, maybe your point about the pitching here, rates out pretty well on this list. Zach Lytle stands out a ton to me, 13% rostered. He's got the 15% K, 5% walk, so the control's good, but he has not been good. He's been giving up a ton of contact, which kind of supported by the 15% K rate. So if you had anything on those two, knock yourself out. Otherwise, I was going to just highlight a few more down the list and move along.
I see. No, I don't. I see your guy. I see your guy, Sean Burke, who we somehow landed on a beer bet, a 1 week, 2-step beer bet. But you got Sean Burke and I've got Shane Smith. Sean Burke, man, brutal ninth inning for the White Sox tonight. Pop fly. Sean Burke's in line for a win. Ninth inning, pop up to second base, just hits Chase Mydroth in the head. One of two errors.
White Sox go to White Sox.
One of two errors in the ninth. And Burke doesn't get the win. So
bad.
This has nothing to do with, you know, fantasy, really. I just like seeing Bubba in pain.
Yes, you do. More importantly, with the bottom of this list, I just wanted to highlight a few things here. Yeah, guys like Logan Allen, who's been a streamer of late, looks horrific. Osvaldo Beto, who, you know, last year was serviceable, and he actually was like on these parts of charts last year and still kind of overachieved. So I will throw that much out there. But then you got Mitchell Parker, who we'll definitely talk about on another set over here, because I will bring his lucky, unlucky side of things. He'll be discussed. A lot of just really bad pitchers is the best way I'll say it. So just to wrap up your thoughts on this is why even in 12s, it's very difficult to stream. That's why guys like Gonsolin should have been overpaid for, basically.
Yeah, again, I think that is the takeaway is any chance you can get to fab or hold decent starting pitching, you've got to go for it because this is brutal. There's a lot of red down here. Like Mitchell Parker's down here. Mitchell Parker's had a decent start to the season, but 12% strikeout rate, basically the same number of strikeouts as walks. So it's as Kevin in the chat says, it is such slim pickings if you need starting pitchers. And 15s, I can talk myself into almost any scheduled starter. And then, again, this is the thing. It's early May. Like, this doesn't get better. Like, as temperatures heat up, as guys get hurt, et cetera, et cetera. I think another thing is, like, your who's your guy? Kasperius, Hayden Birdsong.
Kasperius, Birdsong, Harrison, Kyle Harrison.
Kyle Harrison, great. Those types.
Looks great.
Those multi-inning follower types, I think those guys even become more viable because it's really tough looking at this list. And again, these are the most skilled guys, the top 30. And like, there's Taiwan Walker.
And Nick Pollock, what is this list?
Pollock, these are the best starting pitchers available on free agent wires.
Best and worst.
Horrible, best man. And worst. No, just best. This is best.
Right. You are correct.
This
you are
is straight
correct.
Up yes, best.
That's horrible. All right, let's go to the middle board then. Let's do skills, risers, and fallers. Maybe we'll get some better context here from at least some good starting pitchers while we're at it.
Yeah, I don't know. So yeah, here's what we're looking at with this. My two favorite strikeout minus walk rate is probably the king. But I just wanted to mix it up a little bit with these boards and look at swinging strike and ball percentage. I think regular listeners to the show know what these are, but swinging strike rate is league average, like 11.5-12%. Again, it's a very good indicator for your strikeout rate, how good you are at missing bats and getting strikeouts. It's similar with ball percentage and walk rate. So very good indicators for those two things. And they're on a per pitch basis. So especially like this time of year, these can stabilize a little bit quicker than per plate appearance stuff like strikeout rate and walk rate. And so basically what I did with these is I took the improvement in or the difference in swinging strike, the difference in ball, kind of combined those together. And here are the top 15 and the bottom 15. Hunter Green, and then I'll let you kind of drive us. Hunter Green is by far the best improver in terms of those two skills. It has been pretty wild to see how good Hunter Green has been with the velocity, with missing. He already missed a ton of bats, but to go from 13% to 17% swinging strike as a starter, that is elite. And he's doing it by throwing more strikes, right? From a league average ball percentage down to 29% for a ball rate is elite. So it's crazy to see what Hunter Green does. I'm actually more impressed by the improvement in control than the improvement in whiffs. We knew he could miss bats. I didn't know he could be this efficient and conquer the control like this.
Yeah, crazy 28.5% K to walk right now. That is electric. I was writing him up for daily matchups tonight, and that stood out in a big, big way. I'll let you answer this before we get to pitchers here. Nick Pollock has a thought. I've always found it interesting how we use strike percentage and HQs as ball percentage. He says ball percentage is no negative. you reference ball percentage a lot, and it's kind of rubbed off on me and probably a lot of our listeners. So if you want to elaborate more on that, you're more than welcome to, or we can move along.
Bring it up with Chandler. No, I believe we use ball like HQ in the forecaster. We use ball percentage as an indicator for control for walk rate, and the lower the better for walk rate. So I believe that's why we use ball percentage for walk rate. Is just you want fewer bad things. So, and yeah, ball percentage just sounds funnier.
There you go. That's Michael C says yes. All right. So Chris Bassett hits the list here. He's increased his swinging strike from 9-11%. Ball percentage has dropped from 37-33%. I love to see like a rolling chart of this because his last three starts have not been nearly as efficient and dominant as his first four starts have been, but still we are seeing positives in that regard. But this is one of those that as it continues to update every day, every start with Bassett, I'm curious to see where that number continues to potentially change.
Yeah, this is one I just like, and this is why we always say Bloom Board start of a conversation, not just a blanket like target list or whatever. Like I still don't have much faith in Chris Bassett. Like there's not much of a change in pitch mix at all. It's almost the same mix that we saw last year. It's actually slower velocity across the board. He's down over a tick on his fastball. Same with the cutter. Like, Chris Bassett's old. Like, nothing against the olds. But I don't see where this is coming from. And I don't see any kind of like, at least in the stuff that I look at in terms of like missing bats, throwing strikes, pitch mix, velocity, I don't see anything that it's like, this is a new Chris Bassitt. So I think the recent trend of Bassitt kind of falling back and still being like, you know, probably productive, decent innings eater is good, but I don't think this is like an ace or breakout.
Fair enough on that one. I'm not going to disagree with you there. Your boy Kyle Freeland checks another box for you here. He's on all three boards.
Legend.
as you would love to see if your thought process is correct.
He's following in Nate Evaldi's footsteps. Bloomboard's legend.
God, okay, you've taken it too far. You've taken it too far, my friend. I appreciate it because that's something I would do, but you've taken it too far. All right, I want to highlight Luis L. Ortiz, though, because this is an interesting one. He's increased his swinging strike rate 3% from 9 to 12. His ball rate's still the same. He got shelled on Tuesday night, so take that with a grain of salt. Because he came off of 6 1/3 shutout innings with 5 Ks against the Twins. He's allowed 3 earned runs or less in 4 of his last 5 starts before Tuesday's start, with 8 or more Ks in 3 straight before the 5 this last time. So he, like, the strikeout rates have improved. When you look at a profile like Luis L. Ortiz, I know when he got traded to Cleveland, people were excited, especially for like DCs and whatnot. Like, hey, this is a guy we can utilize potentially for innings and spot starts. But to see him this high up on this board showcases maybe there are some improvements that could definitely justify some streams.
Yeah, I mean, I'll admit I have not seen much of Luis L. Ortiz. I don't get to see many Cleveland games, and God help me if I was going to watch Pittsburgh last year. So. I mean, the reason why Luis L. Ortiz shows up on this list is also important, is he came from a bad spot to improve to league average, which again is useful. We just went through our free agent list and that was brutal, but this is Luis L. Ortiz going from a 9 to 12% swinging strike, which is going from very bad to average. Again, useful, but I don't know. It's not like this is someone who is like, yes, he's taking a step forward, but he's just going from like bad to meh. It's kind of what I have on him.
All right. We're not going to talk about Justin Verlander. It is good to see the skills improved, but I've watched almost every one of his starts. And if you get five innings, if you get 5 innings, that's great, but they keep putting him out there longer and it gets rough. And then the Giants blew it tonight. He could have had a win. So he's pitching well, but for fantasy, I don't think there's much. He's more of a floor guy than a ceiling as well. So like, I get it in that regard. It's just like, I like Irvin. Verlander's fine. Just don't get too attached. I want to talk about my guy. This is a guy that ever since we've been doing the show, Ryan, I have been a big Mackenzie Gore fan. And every year you say it's because he like 1.4 whips. And you've been right until this season. Things have changed, my friend. Mackenzie Gore has increased his swinging strike rate from 13 to 16% with a similar ball rate of 36%. But what we're seeing from him is 68 strikeouts and 46 innings pitched, which is absolutely outstanding for a whopping 29.4% K to walk, which is better than Hunter Green. Mackenzie Gore has a 3.33 ERA to go with a 2.35 Sierra this season. Mackenzie Gore is doing things that make my heart melt, and I want to know how you feel looking at this board and seeing the improvements we've seen from Mackenzie Gore.
Yeah, no, it does look really good. Major steps forward with Mackenzie Gore's secondary pitches. Curveball is getting a ton more whiffs. It's a softer curveball this year, a lot more ground balls. He's got 65% ground ball rate with the curve. Gore can kind of get a ground ball when he needs to. It's nice to have a pitch like that. Slider's been a lot better, and he throws the four-seamer for strikes, which is good. So you can live with a league average. You can live with league average control with Mackenzie Gore if he's going out there and pumping a 16% swinging strike and a 36% K rate. That is just freaking elite. So we'll see, man. Like it's May 6th. Easy. Leads, Mackenzie
leads
Gore.
Leads baseball and strikeouts.
Noted second half fader. That is actually a fact at this point. Mackenzie Gore's last few seasons, so we'll see. But no, great start for Mackenzie Gore. He's looked really good.
Speaking of guys that look good until they get hurt, Logan Gilbert, any thoughts on your boy?
Just angry. I mean, he looked like the best pitcher in baseball to me. But yeah, maybe I'm a little biased, but he looked really good. And the injury, man, we have a listener question later on pitcher injuries, but yeah, I miss Logan Gilbert.
Let's talk Tarek Skubal, because this one is, I love seeing him on this list just for the fact that, you know, we already had the discussions this preseason of Skubal, and Skeens has looked good, but nothing near the top pick pitching-wise Skubal has. And I wanted to bring it up, though, because Skubal's first two starts, like, he allows four runs against the Dodgers, and you're kind of like, okay, three runs in Seattle, and that's when Seattle stunk. So you got that going. But since then, it's been zero runs, two runs, one run. Strikeouts are back going crazy, and only five walks in 40 and two-thirds innings pitched, and that could get credited to a 30% ball rate and a 17% swinging strike rate. The guy that was already the Cy Young Award winner in 2024 might be even better this season.
Yeah, and yeah, it's crazy to think that Tarek Skubal has actually gotten better. That is why he's on this list, and we all know where Tarek Skubal started from entering the season. Very hard to reproduce or even improve upon numbers, and Tarek Skubal has done it. The combination of a 17% swinging strike and a 30% ball is, again, those are dark, dark green. I think Skubal and Hunter Green are the only ones in baseball who are even touched this. So, yeah, kudos to Skubal. He looks even better than he did last year. It's pretty nuts.
I'm not going to go deep on Logan Webb, but I know we've talked about it. The improvements are great. We talked about it on the Patreon show about potential Cy Youngs. Like, Webb's that dude, and it's because of that swinging strike rate. He's adding strikeouts to his longevity in games to just continue his dominance. And if he's striking guys out, and I've said it every offseason, people say, what do you want to do with Logan Webb? And I'm like, he's a pitcher. He changes every year. He does what he has to do to go deep. One year he strikes guys out, one year he doesn't. Well, he's striking guys out this year, so stand back. That's all I'm going to say there.
This is another pitch mix changer, too. I wrote about Logan Webb on Wednesday at Baseball HQ. I'm doing a pitch mix change article, and Logan Webb's actually fading his changeup even more this season, more sliders. It's absolutely working. I feel like this, we talked a lot about like how good Framber Valdez was in the second half last year. Noted ground ball guy who finally got that uptick in strikeouts and whiffs. I feel like that's what we're seeing with Logan Webb right now. And it is, I know for you, it's damn sweet to see. He keeps the elite ground ball rate, but then you pair that with more whiffs and more Ks like this. And a pitch mix change again to kind of back it up. You like that a lot. So, but very good start for your guy.
Yeah, I'm not going to go deep on these other guys. It's just good to see Cole Reagans, who's striking out everybody, 10 or more Ks in 4 of 7 starts. Your boy Casey Mize is on this list, which is great to see. But I also wanted to highlight, you could talk about them if you want, but I wanted to mention Gavin Williams, who is getting shelled all over the ballpark, but he has improved his swinging strike rate to 14%. It's a 4.4% jump. The ball rate's up 2% to 38%, which is obviously not good. It's the only one in the pinkish, almost rare stake red in this category. But the improved swinging strike also gives you the point that, like, skills might be there. The command just isn't right now.
Agreed. And that's what we see here. And until the command gets better, Gavin Williams has been a blind spot for me throughout his career, but you obviously like to see the uptick in Ks, but you don't like, I mean, his last start was a microcosm of that. I think at 8 Ks, like 3 walks, struggled to pitch deep into games. It's hard to pitch deep into games and qualify for wins when you're throwing balls 38, 40% of the time.
Yes, indeed. All right, okay, quick look at the fallers in the skill sets here. It's interesting to see Carlos Rodon on this list because he's actually been really, really good of late. His first few starts were bad, but he's been quite serviceable. In his last 4 starts, he's allowed 2 total earned runs with, do the quick math, 29 strikeouts and 8 walks. Like, he's been really good the last 4 starts. But obviously, we're looking at the whole skill set, and his early starts were really, really bad.
Yeah, this is one where, like, I know people want us to, like, make recommendations on this stuff. This is the kind of profile I don't know what to do with, because Carlos Rodon has seen his K rate go up from 27 to 30% this year, but he's missing a lot fewer bats. So it's hard to see that K rate holding. The walk rate has gone up and he's throwing more balls. So that also tells me that, like, is the control really there? So despite the excellent, you know, surface ratios, despite even a Sierra, right, which is your skills-based DRA of 335, these two metrics, swinging strike and ball, don't really support what Carlos Rodon is doing right now. So he's at the top of the fallers list, just the way this board is organized. That's like the 15th softest fall, I guess, where the bottom of this list is the most harsh one, which is Grant Holmes. So that's just one little disclaimer for how to read this thing.
And then one last thing on Rodon is he also has increased his ball rate to 46% this year, which will help with the problems. But Tyler McGill on this list might surprise some because he's been kind of a darling this year doing his thing, but he's seen the swinging strike rate drop 3% and the ball rate jump 2%. So that is a bit concerning that maybe we're getting lucky at this point in time.
Potential early sell high, and then you tack on the injury risk with Tyler McGill, noted IL denizen. So that was probably coming at some point too.
Garrett Crochet dropping his swinging strike percent from 16 to 13 and his ball rate jumped from 32 to 36. It has been a very bumpy road for Crochet to start the season, Ryan. People are getting concerned with Garrett. I know we have a listener question on Garrett Crochet, but like he's limiting the damage. He's allowed 2 earned runs or less in all but one start this year, but he's also has, a start with 5 walks and then a start with 4 walks. It's been brutal at times.
It's been brutal, and like it's all the fastball. It's down over a tick, like tick and a half from last season, which isn't great. And he's not throwing it for strikes anymore. So that's why we're seeing this with Garrett Crochet. So the ultimate thing is like, is something wrong here? Is it something mechanical? I'm always worried about a drop in velocity that's over a mile and a half. So I would say my concern level on Garrett Crochet is not slim. It's probably in the middle there.
Yep, that's fair. One that concerns me is Tanner Bibee, who I'm a huge fan of. Watching his swinging strike go from 12 to 8% and the walk or the ball percentage from 34 to 38, which has coincided to a 10% plus walk rate, which is not great. So I am concerned there. Plus, he managed to get cramping in both legs in his last start, which is that's impressive. Might be his most impressive stat of the season. But what are your thoughts on a guy like Tanner Bibee?
Hey, I've had cramping in both legs after my golf fitting, walk. True.
You are that 5-star athlete we're talking about.
That's right. Me and Tanner. Me and Tanner. No, this is weird, man, because I don't think the velocity's changed at all with Tanner Bibee. I don't think this is any kind of injury, but it's certainly has to enter the fray. Like you just randomly see a drop like this from someone like who's in his prime, right? This is Bibee's third MLB season, 26, yep, something like that.
Supposed to be the breakout year, basically.
Right. It was kind of like, we were both huge on Bibee ending the season, kind of that perfect blend of like, he's had the track record, he's pitched deep into seasons and he's still young. And it's like to see something like this is, I can't explain it, but all I can say is it looks just as ugly the deeper you look as it is on the surface.
And then we'll just go over these last two quickly. Kikuchi, this makes a ton of sense. I wrote him up on the matchups, watching his swinging strike go from 13 to 8%. And more importantly, the ball percentage, 35 to 39%. Dude's got 33 Ks on the year and nearly 20 walks. It's been a smoke and mirrors to have the ratios he has at this point in time.
Agreed. Maybe moving to the Angels wasn't the best thing in the world, as many potentially predicted. The big thing with Kikuchi, right, last year with the Astros was throwing more sliders. It was a great pitch, yada yada, looked really good. Still throwing a ton of sliders, actually throwing it even more this season, but it has not been effective. It hasn't been as fast. It's down 2 ticks. It's not missing bats, getting thrown for strikes. So right now, you say Kikuchi does not have a plus pitch, and that is shown in these indicators. It's not great for someone who I was very high on before the signing, kind of tempered it down a little bit, which I think everyone did, but I didn't think he'd be this bad, but he's morphed in back into bad Kikuchi.
Yes, indeed. And I want to highlight Grant Holmes, who you mentioned a second ago, his swinging strike from 16 to 11%, ball percentage from 32 to 39. Those are two massive shifts in the profile. Now his last start against the Dodgers was outstanding. Got beat around by Arizona, really good versus Minnesota. It's kind of been an up and down roller coaster, but he's had at least 2 walks in 5 straight starts, 19 walks in the season, 35 strikeouts, definitely hindering his total production upside.
Yeah, could be worse too, because it's a 203 BABIP against Grant Holmes. Like, that's very fortunate. So this could be much worse And I don't know, man, similar to what I was saying about like a 40% ball rate for like some of these other guys, to see Grant Holmes at 39%, you have to be able to throw strikes for me to start you. And Grant Holmes, man, someone who we were both super high on, but it's been rough.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. It's just interesting looking at this list because Burns and Crochet were two top end fantasy picks, and both.
I mean, Burns is horrendous now.
Yeah, really bad.
Really bad. I mean, these numbers are way at the bottom. They're rare stake red, 9% swinging strike, 39% ball. Like Corbin Burns looks. I'm not gonna use the T word, toast, but
he looks cooked.
Yeah, the C word.
There you go. All right, let's go to luckiest and unluckiest on the board. So I think, to me, all of these are useful, but this is a place where you might be able to start navigating your fab minefield potentially.
Yeah, I think so. So what this is basically it's a list of your luckiest that are in green, and then the 15 unluckiest, basically just sorted by the difference in ERA and your skills ERA, your Sierra, which is available on Fangraphs. But then I added on top of it is like, you know, where are these pitchers getting lucky or unlucky? I added the three luck factors that I call them luck factors. Pitchers have some control over them, but not as much as I think people give them credit for. So you've got your three. You got BABIP, with left on base percentage, and homer to fly. In general, those three things should regress back to league average. For BABIP, it's like 290 left on base. I want to say set low 70s, and homer to fly changes every year, but it's roughly like 12%. So anything way above or below that for a pitcher, you should expect 8 times out of 10, whatever, that those numbers go back to league average. Both again, and depending on where you're coming from, that could mean you should get better or you should get worse.
Yeah, and some of these really, really stand out to me on this. Like, first off, you have Max Fried, who, you know, you mentioned as a Cy Young guy because he has pitched that great, but 101 ERA, 361 Sierra, that BABIP's amazing at 232, 83% left on base. That's not horrible. Like, the 5% home run to fly ball surprises me quite a bit, especially for a guy that's usually a, you know, gives up a lot more. Let's put it, gives up a lot more home runs. It's the best way I'll put it with a guy like Max Fried. And, to see this early success, but at the same time, if you like look start to start with him, not overly dominant every time out. So it's just a surprising one on the list.
And that's how you can read this, right? With the super low BABIP like that, you would expect more hits to fall through going forward for Max Fried. And like, no one holds a 5% homer to fly ball, right? So Max Fried has been pretty lucky with the fly balls, even in Yankee Stadium. So that's how you read that. Basically, based on the skills that we've seen for Max Fried, which is a good walk rate and a really good ground ball rate, which is good. That's a very high floor. Only striking out 22% of batters, not getting many whiffs. So based on that kind of combination of strikeouts, whiffs, and ground balls, Max Fried has pitched like a mid threes ERA guy, which again is still good, but it's not right 101 ERA. No one expects Max Fried to hold a one ERA. Nobody does, but he's pitched fine, but he's nowhere near been this good.
Nakota Singo on the list is interesting. A 1.38 ERA with a 3.88 Sierra, but a 294 BABIP. So his BABIP seems kind of reasonable.
Yep.
But still a decent left on base rate, and the home run of fly ball is pretty low. So a guy that I don't know how they calculate the whole Sierra thing. I get it. There's a process to it, but I don't know if that gap is that makes that much sense, I guess.
I mean, it, because Senga hasn't really pitched that great. It's a worse than average walk rate. Strikeout rate's average. Like, he's just been very average. And that, I mean, average is kind of like a 3.88 ERA. That's so fair. I mean, the biggest thing with Senga, and again, that's how to read this, is basically every fly ball is ending for an out, not a home run. 3% homer to fly is just, that's not going to stay that low. And then an 85% left on base, that means every runner that Senga puts on base, 85% of them are not scoring. They're getting stranded. And again, league average of that is like low 70s. So you just have to think those two things won't be as fortunate all season. And I don't know, with Senga, like, I don't know. You just look at again, your league average 15% K minus walk. I look at a 39% ball rate. The control hasn't been there for Senga. It wasn't really there back in 2023 either, pre-injury. So I'm kind of always low on Senga, but I don't know. He's pitched actually like worse than Fried, but whatever. 1.38 ERA. I mean, that it counts, and we're 6 weeks into the season.
I guess it's interesting to see a 294 BABIP knowing all the fly balls aren't falling, basically. That is telling. Colin Ray started to see some of his regression today, just a little bit. So keep that in mind. Tyler Anderson looked like he was going to, then he settled down and luck boxed out yet again. So just prepare for that doom and gloom. So 169 BABIP and a 91% left on bases. Just
right. That's absolutely bonkers. Tyler Anderson is like a 5 ERA type guy. That's what the Sierra is showing. And I think that's another way, like, good one to read about this, because like no matter what with Max Fried, Senga, whatever, they're still sub 4 ERA skill pitchers. They're still pretty good. Same cannot be said for Tyler Anderson.
Yep, agreed. Seeing Mitchell Parker on this list makes a lot of sense. 3.48 ERA, 5.61 Sierra. He has allowed 11 earned runs in his last two starts. It's been rough. The regression's already coming. But he only has a 68% left on base to go with his 2.23 BABIP. So it's kind of like a, okay, that could get a little better. Not a, you know, he said average is 70%, so that's probably not a ton. But things might get a lot worse for Mitchell Parker. He's a tough one because he seems like a really good streamer. Last two starts have been so bad where it's like, okay, maybe this is not what we want it to be anymore.
Yep. And when you have basically the same number of strikeouts as you have walks, that's again, that's why the Sierra is so high, pitching like a 5-6 ERA guy.
Who's this next name on the list here?
Who we got?
Shane Smith. Shane Smith's on the list. I think we know a Shane Smith conversation when we see one. 2.41 ERA, 4.33 Sierra. He does a 260 BABIP and a 77% left on base, not to mention a 3% homer to fly ball. I'm just saying the dude's getting lucky, right, Ryan?
Yeah, dude. Don't shade me for Shane Smith. Our beer bet is Shane Smith.
We're going to call him Shane Smith pretty soon.
Well, I'm going to call him High Noon if he wins me a beer bet here this week.
Touche.
Yeah, Shane Smith, you're right, has been fortunate to have a 2.41 ERA. But still, again, a 4.33 like Sierra, like that's not, given what we just saw with the free agent
pool. It's not that bad.
I mean, there's more context to this, right? Everything is more than just a few numbers, but like Shane Smith's not going to get many wins with the White Sox. So like that plays a role. But I don't know. He's like passable, streamable in two-step weeks like this week currently is.
I like seeing Jackson Jobe on this list, honestly, because I've been kind of pounding this drum for a couple weeks now that everyone loves the idea of Jackson Jobe, but right now the results of Jackson Jobe are not that top prospect right now. 3.38 ERA is nice, but the 5.2 Sierra checks out if you've like watched any of his games. 2.24 BABIP, 79% left on base. Like one thing that stood out to me a ton is he's walking 14 walks over 24 innings pitched, but what we're seeing is he hasn't struck out more than 5 in any start this year. Two of his 5 starts, he's only gone 4 innings. They've already skipped one start, so they're gonna baby him. But that doesn't have any context to what we're talking about. My point being, he's walking too many guys. He's not dominating guys, and the fact that he has this kind of BABIP and left on base rate is pretty fortunate, in my opinion.
Yeah, and then I think the other thing to add on to that is just this is someone who is like one of the best prospects in the game, and I think when you see surface results that look really good, people want to get excited about someone like Jackson Jobe. And I think we just need to very much pump the brakes for all the reasons you just said.
Anything else on these top ones like Matt's, as we kind of skipped over him earlier, because small sample, he's a long relief potential starter guy. Chris Bubich is an interesting one just because he has pitched really, really well. The helium was towards the end of the year, but you highlighted Yamamoto. So I'll let you have the floor here because he has, the numbers have been great. I watched his last like two to three. Heck, I did a playback. It was Yamamoto versus Skeens, and Yamamoto couldn't throw a strike. So this checks out to me.
It checks out, but like
still really good.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know Yamamoto had a 0.9 ERA. That's freaking nuts. But I mean, two things can be true. You can be lucky and you can be good. And I think that's the case for Yamamoto. So like, yes, he's not as good as a 0.9. So he's going to show up on this list because he's going to fall back from a 0.9 ERA. But the skills, the strikeout walk, say he's like a 2.6 sub-3 ERA guy. He's pitched that well so far this season. So, yeah, I just did not realize I don't have any Yamamoto, which is unfortunate for me, but did not realize he's pitched that well. That's crazy.
Yep. On the unlucky side of things, Chris Sale, 4.84 ERA, 2.94 Sierra, 3.83 BABIP, 72% left on base. We saw a great start against the Reds on Tuesday, ending with 10 strikeouts. Got the job done there. I'm still a little concerned with Sale. I agree he shouldn't be this bad, but he doesn't look as sharp and dominant as he did last season at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. Same exact swing and strike and ball percentages last year for Chris Sale. Velocity is the exact same, very similar pitch mix. Dealt tonight against the Reds. I think Chris Sale will be just fine.
All right, fair enough. It's good to see like Ryan Nelson, your boy Kyle Freeland on this list. Jordan Hicks makes this list yet again. I think Tanner Houck is interesting to me. I want to keep believing in the idea of Tanner Houck, or at least I look at these numbers. I've looked at them the last couple weeks for Fab. It's a broken record. A lot of these pitchers are pitching tomorrow on this board. So Tanner Houck made the list. But the 6.38 ERA is alerting. 4.02 Sierra is great. 3.27 BABIP, 64% left on base, 21% home run the fly ball. All things that should come crashing back down to earth with Tanner Houck. I remember in the offseason doing a little mini column on like some underdog guys. Tanner Houck is a massive quality start machine. He had 19 quality starts last year and 30 starts with 3.12 ERA and 178 innings. So to have the struggles he's had this year has been quite telling. But more importantly, you look at his last few starts, because this is highlighted by one outing where he threw 2 1/3 innings and allowed 11 earned runs. They hung him out to dry, essentially. Yep. Other than that, it's last start, 7 innings, 1 earned, 6 Ks. 5 innings, 4 earned, 6 Ks. 6 innings, 2 earned, 7 Ks. 1 earned, 3 earned, 4 earned. Like the six or more Ks in like 4 of his 7 starts. Dude's actually been pretty darn good outside of that absolute bloodbath. Like he was on OC waiver wires this past week. So I just wanted to highlight this and the fact he shows up on this list. This will be in one of your future boards, as if you take out that one start, Ryan, he'll probably be at the top of the list. I probably stole your thunder. I apologize. But no, like I literally have dug into him a lot lately for some weird reason, and I'm glad he's on this list.
No, I'm glad you brought it up, because yeah, the one start thing, it does like it is a little polarizing because people are like, oh yeah, well, you can't take away their best start. Of course it counts, but like I just feel like with Tanner, like, I watched that game, like he just didn't have it that day and he just had to wear it. And they, I mean, he was just left in. And like, yes, that start crushes you. It's probably worse than the Ryan Pressly start, or not start, Ryan Pressly fest.
Whatever helps you sleep at night.
I don't have him started anywhere, dude.
Out got 7 outs.
I don't know. Yeah. Would you rather have no outs with 8 earned runs or 7 outs with 11 earned runs?
I'm guessing the outs with 11 earned runs.
I don't know, man. Because then that's a difference of 3 earned runs over 7 outs, 3 earned runs in 2 1/3.
Yeah, maybe.
I think
maybe
the 11 right. earned run outing's worse. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Right. Whatever. But that's absolutely something that's right. That's not going to show up in this board where I think you totally need to. Yes, the one bad outing happened. But outside of that, like you said, Tanner Houck's been pretty good. And as we can see on the board here, right, it is all red in terms of bad BABIP, bad left on base, bad homer to fly. All three of which should get a little bit closer to league average and help out Tanner Houck going forward.
There's two more names I wanted to bring up, and you could add to them or talk about someone else if you like. I want to talk Erod real quick, Eduardo Rodriguez, just because I've talked about him recently. He did get hit around his last time out, but there's still some underlying skills that look pretty good with Erod. This kind of gets highlighted on this board. And I also wanted to mention, I want to get your thoughts actually on Sandy Alcantara, because it's been brutal. I think we've both said with questions recently, like you just hold and see where it goes. Like I wasn't starting him versus the Dodgers the last two times anyways. He was a bench for me. They weren't pretty at all. They did not help the case to get confident in Sandy. But we're seeing a guy with an 8.42 ERA, a 5 Sierra, which is still not great. But the other metrics, 51% left on base rate for a guy that usually gets the ground balls like he does. Not to mention a 21% home run to fly ball is not great.
It's kind of like Sandy's kind of the anti Yamamoto, where you can be lucky and good. Sandy, you can be unlucky and bad. And like, yes, Sandy's been unlucky to have an 8.4 ERA, but he's pitched like a guy with an ERA north of 5. So is it really that good? The biggest thing for me, Sandy, is the control. Just is not what we saw pre-surgery. So I don't know when, if that comes back this year. So it's brutal.
Fair enough. Anybody else on these boards you'd like to discuss before we hit some Discord questions?
No, let's hit the questions. That's the rest of this is riffraff. But again, you can check this out every day. This gets updated with the previous day's results. So this is live and fresh for our Patreon folks.
In the thing, Ryan mentioned the questions for the Discord here, and so we'll also have a listener league update. Martin Sokolsky said hashtag skip me, so fair enough. I just wanted to shout that out. If I have to take it, you're taking it too, Martin.
Yeah.
Mailman Mike, he says, how worried are you about Crochet on a level of 1 to 10?
Ooh, on a level of 1 to 10, I would say, given Crochet's placement on the skills fallers in terms of whiffs and strikes, I'd say a 5. Give a solid 5 drop in velocity in that. Yeah, 5.
I was going to say 6. So we're about in the same ballpark, because it was the workload last year. Now with the drop in velocity, like, I'm kind of scared for the things we don't want to say out loud. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Dr. Dave.
Yes, Dr. Dave, speaking into existence, I guess. Steve Stoughton says, both of you name two pitchers. God, so demanding, Steve. Both of you name two pitchers you're buying and two you're selling from the Bloom Board. Thanks, as always.
Well, Steve is in my listener league, so I don't know if I'm going to be so totally truthful here. I will say, I'll steal your thunder. I'll say Logan Webb. I'm buying, and I'm buying Kyle Freeland.
He better buy Kyle Freeland.
Because I have to buy Kyle Freeland at this point.
Yep. I am going to obviously like the web. I'm going to buy Mackenzie Gore. I have to as well. So I will buy Mackenzie Gore, and I will buy Tanner Houck.
Okay.
Who would you be selling?
I would be selling Grant Holmes and Corbin Burns.
Corbin Burns, 100%. That's the guy we were pretty much out on in draft season anyways. So
yep.
Yeah, definitely be selling Corbin Burns, and I'd be selling Tyler Molly, who we walked by earlier, but that is not going to last forever, folks.
So. Yeah, Molly's number 2 on the lucky list, 1.19 ERA, 4.11 Sierra. Has not allowed a home run yet. That, again, folks, that will not last.
It's going to come in bunches at some point. It's going to be glorious. Mailman Mike says, anyone that just missed the board that's trending in the right direction? I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I could stretch this out past 15, but yeah, off the top of my head, I'm not sure. It's a good question, though.
It'll be updated shortly, and you'll find out when new names show up.
That's true.
Ben Bingham, who is a top 10 listener league participant right now, says, are you buying Luis Ortiz? That's Luis L. Ortiz for those at home. Still having some rough outings, but seems to be some real changes there. Tough day today.
Yeah, tough day today. I think Luis L. Ortiz is a streamer. Again, remember, big improver, but improving from not so great to just okay.
Yeah, shameless plug once again. Guys like Ortiz, some of these other like potential streamers, I basically, when I do my fab, I look at the SP chart that Ryan has on one of the sheets, and if they have good matchups, now they're in play type situation. That's where I'm looking.
And Ortiz Sean Charles,
Sorry.
Ortiz gets at Washington versus the Phillies at Cincinnati his next 3 starts. So, yeah, about average.
Cincy's a good one, if you can pull that one off. Sean Chard says, will Edward Cabrera put together some consistency and be an SP3? If he could ever not walk people, I swear that'd be amazing.
Yeah. I'm shaking my head no, because Edward Cabrera has not been able to do it. So, sucks.
BP says, I have Erod and an NL only. He's been unlucky so far, but can he turn it around? Doesn't always happen, but it looks like positive regression could be coming. I feel like it is, but I've always been an Erod guy. I know Ryan has not been an Erod guy.
Yeah, I haven't been. So, like, this is another one where it's a little complicated. Like, yes, given the way Erod is pitched in terms of, like, strikeouts and walks, you would think he should deserve better. But then you go one level deeper below strikeouts and walks. You look at the whiff rate. You look at the ball percentage. It's a 10% swing strike. That's below average. And it's a 38% ball for Eduardo Rodriguez. So I don't know if the strikeout and walk rates are sustainable. I think that falls back as well. So I think kind of like both things can be true. Erod's pitching above his level right now, but he's also been unlucky. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Ton of sense to me, yes.
Okay. And it probably all just kind of comes out in the wash. So
Yeah. I think he's another guy that you're going to get some really good starts and some just absolute disasters along the way. So the consistency is going to be very, very difficult to get. Right. Our buddy Corbin Young. Any hope for Clay Holmes, or was he a trap?
Yeah, Clay Holmes, is he on this thing anywhere? Yes. So Clay Holmes is on the skills fader list, going from a 12% swinging strike down to 9%. Not great. And then more balls, 35% up to 37% ball percentage for Clay Holmes. That's tough. And it's similar to what we saw with these like bullpen to rotation guys last season. You need to kind of get your earnings in the first half before things start slowing down or whatever. And so like Clay Holmes is kind of running out of time for that to happen. So yes, I'm concerned about Clay Holmes.
And then he mentions Mackenzie Gore with ace-like skills similar to Scooble, Gilbert, Reagans. I agree, Corbin.
Yeah.
And then our buddy Aaron Gifts says, so looks like Senga is a sell high in a shallow league where I have excess pitching.
We may disagree on that, but I think so. I think Senga is somewhat of a sell high. I don't think the control's there, and I think he's been pretty lucky.
And we won't disagree. I think if you're in a shallow league where you have excess pitching, go like someone will spend up for Senga. You can get a good one or two offensive pieces probably in return. So I'm all for it. Go do it. Shallow league, mix and match, and get what you need. So yeah, zero problem with that at all. All right, Ryan, that'll do it. Any final thoughts as we wrap up another Bloom Board episode? Love these live Bloom Boards. Again, I try to shout them out every show I can. The sheets you are putting together are really, really good stuff. I utilize them for a lot of my content. I write all different things. The minor league leaderboard, which will get even more valuable as the season goes along. I think that tool is just starting to find its groove. With these early calls, it'll be even better as things come on. And then not to mention our weekly stuff we talk about. I think that pitching kind of like their next three starts sheet is outstanding. That's a really good one. And obviously the live Bloom boards are great because it's just a quick look. You can see how guys are doing and make some decisions. So all very, very useful to me. And I just wanted to shout those out once again.
Appreciate it, my friend. I always toe the line between not like throwing all kinds of crazy numbers on there and but also having stuff that's useful. So fun run through. We will do the last 30-day stuff in about another month. So we'll unveil that for the show at that point. So that's all I got, man.
All right. Well, another episode in the books, everybody. Again, if you're on the Patreon, you check the old Patreon. You have a special Patreon only question mailbag episode video out there. That was a long-winded way of saying
we reveal our day jobs in the Patreon only show.
And how much, well, I'm just gonna leave it there because that's Patreon only. Because who knows who's listening to this? But those are always fun shows because it seems like there's fantasy relevant questions, but then there's always a handful of we created a good baseball league for football people to transition to. Different things like that are really fun just to cater to the Patreon folks. But a lot of like they get to know us more. Let's put it that way. It's a lot different in that regard. So pretty cool stuff there. But all right, we'll be back with you guys on Thursday to preview the next week ahead of that. Week eight, Ryan. We are moving right along in the Fab world. But before we get to that, you can follow Ryan on the Twitter at RyanBHQ. Make sure you check out the podcast on Twitter at Bubba Bloom Pod. And on the Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I am at BDIntric. And for now, this was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 240. Catch you all next time.